Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
In 1981, at the height of the Cold War, the Russian government launched a low-orbit spacecraft under the guise of scientific exploration. The vessel was, in fact, militarized and equipped with two nuclear warheads. Its purpose? A dead man's switch in the unlikely event that the motherland and her arsenal of nuclear submarines were compromised. The Russian government, however, lost contact with the spacecraft shortly after it breached the atmosphere. After 8 weeks of radio silence, it was considered lost to space. Then, in September of this year, a mangled bolus of debris crash-landed in the Nevada Badlands. Neither the nuclear warheads nor the two cosmonauts' bodies were recovered in the wreckage. One thing, however, did survive. This journal, found in a blast-proof box, provides a haunting glimpse of the cosmic atrocities living just beyond the light of our world. Its transcript, obtained and translated by me, is seen below in full to preserve its integrity. Its opening page bears no names, no dates, no times. It reads simply, "Death of the Cosmonauts." My Cossack sensibilities betray me. I know the shadow men who swim through the stars must only be a figment of my tired mind, because none of God's creatures are born to survive the great crush of his magnificent creation, the cosmos. But now, after the death and revival of my comrade, faith evades me. The Shadow Men are true. They move like snakes and speak in voiceless tongues. Some are bigger than others, but I hear them all without rest. Their words curl and writhe through the hum of thrusters, rattling into my skull and weary mind like hot pokers from a burning hearth. I miss my comrade. He watches me through the porthole as I write. Even now, his face torn into a distended grimace, so much like Munch's The Scream. A dreadful smile that fills my stomach with pain. His teeth are black, and thick fluid the color of dead stars gurgles down his ruined socle. I can see a shadow man beneath him, wearing his expired body like a husk. When I look at him, his haunted, unblinking eyes, his forehead wrinkled in forgotten agony, I see fingers clawing up from beneath his skin, stretching it like dough under Babushka's hand. I don't have long now. With the final hour upon me, I find myself alone. Alone without the voice of my lord or my comrade to quell the agony. But no. No. I'm not alone. I know he's with me. The false god I thought I knew. But no, not at all. They're also with me. Them. The ones who drive the shadow men across the plains of time like cattle in an American Western film. The forgotten creators. I cannot tell you the details of our ship. That would constitute treason. But I will tell you it operates like a shuttle, with an array of vestibules that serve as our rest and recreation quarters. The launch was elementary. A rocket carried us through the sky and into the black beyond, dispatching us like a payload before returning to Earth, leaving us to drift through the inky chasm that lines our world like a blanket. The malfunctions began almost immediately, starting with false readings, low fuel, thruster damage, and ending with total loss of communications. We found ourselves alone. With no downlink or uplink, we found ourselves stranded to the stars, left to float voicelessly through the great unknown like men shipwrecked in a child's dream. We spent a week doing maintenance, manual readings, but since communications had yet to return, we made a mutual decision to abort the mission and return to Earth. That's when the silver disk came into view. As big as a planet it was. Not floating. No, simply hanging in the stars ahead. It took not the appearance of a solid object, but a portal, as if God himself had punched a silver hole through the fabric of space. We watched from the command module as it grew on the horizon, grew like a foul sun barreling toward us. "My God," whispered my comrade, as the unlikely vision roped us into its vacuum. Then, it all went rotten. We fell back on our training, using expelled pressure to try and pull the ship away. Sweat fell in hot pints, pulses rose, our panic climbed to a fever pitch as false light, cold, silver light, flooded the command module. But I think, especially now, that it wasn't light at all, for light is silent, and this was not silent. It was deafening. A high-frequency scream, the unbearable cry a dog must hear from a silent whistle, rode the awful light, needling at my eyes, picking at my ears. It filled my lungs with fluttering dread, turning my insides into a cloud of dead leaves whipped into a frenzy by the wind of fear. I clawed at my head as the wind built. The heavens were one great thunder, and our ship rattled and shook and crushed the silver void into... I blinked and saw only red, a hellish carmine like hot blood from a severed neck. It surrounded us. It was dreadful, and something jumped into my ribs, and I yelped, the sound of a small dog with its tail in the door. I looked over and saw my trembling comrade, his body twisted and convulsing, hands torn into rigid claws, eyes showing only the whites as a bib of red foam curled down his jumpsuit. I cried out, not his name nor a word, merely a frightened syllable, and reached out for him. Then I saw what surrounded us. We were no longer in the stars. That place, the bleeding place, was the devil's nightmare, and the horrors it bred, the things living in silent tandem beside our world, were just now waking up. I dragged my dying comrade out from the command module and into the medical station. Blood roared from his eyes, ears, nose. He had sprung a deathly leak, and if I didn't apply medical attention, he would surely... He sat up on the padded bed with a sudden strangled gasp. The overhead lights were out, and in the reddish pollution, he was now a vision of terror. A dreadful nightmare from the religious fresco depicting the underworld. His eyes, still rolled into his brain, had blossomed with the red of a dozen blown capillaries. His lips drew back as if pulled by invisible hands, pulling into a crooked sneer. "Darkness is the only comfort," said a jagged voice that was not his own. His lips did not move. The words seemed to scrape through his chest. I stepped back, the joints of my legs creaking like a rusty door. My heart was pounding sickeningly, a hollow, thumping ache in my chest. "Darkness is what all things find come the end," continued that snarling, foul voice. "Eternal light and glory was a lie all along, an amusing lie meant to trick mortal fools. There is nothing but frozen darkness. There is nothing but the wicked gods." Two black arms exploded from his mouth, hands the color of pitch grabbed at his jaw, his head trying to claw the rest of themselves out, as if his very soul was trying to escape his corrupted body. With a choked cry, I fell back, slamming the command module door as the man who was my comrade changed into something else entirely. Something clawed and scraped, pulling back my comrade's bleeding flesh like an expired skin. Blood misted the window. Sprays of brain splattered the wall. A thing the color of darkness, faceless, featureless, appeared in the porthole window. Behind him was a bloody husk, a mangled, fleshy suit folded limply on the ground, a puddle of gore expanding from it like a red halo. The shadow man spoke in my mind. I ignored his voice, cruel and cold, and collapsed into one of the padded chairs facing the panorama window. What I saw beyond drove through me like a flaming arrow. I sat, silent, stunned, shivering with raw, screaming terror, and stared at the horizon. Shadowy giants the size of galaxies floated through the red abyss like condemned souls. Planets that were not planets at all, but infallible, rotting skulls hung like gruesome ornaments. Smaller planets, sallow and opaque, ringed by belts of umbilical framed fetuses curled up in utero, the massive, incredible forms pulsing with terrible life. It was a grand masquerade of horrors, of things moving like liquid through the dreadful cosmos. I drifted toward it all with my chest tightening like it was being torqued to the breaking point. I felt my soul weaken, All at once, something swept into view. A dark curtain as big as the sky itself. The ship shuddered in shock as a face made of darkness filled the horizon. A face bigger than a planet, bigger than a monster has any right to be. It was a giant, and its mouth slowly broke apart like a curtain at showtime. I looked back at the porthole. The Shadow Man, a mere homunculus compared to his brother, wore my comrade's bleeding skin. I stared out the window as the giant swallowed me. I found my voice, and I screamed. We were vanished into static, devoured into a space that screamed with flickering snow as if we'd been swallowed by a poorly tuned television. Looking out on the horizon made my teeth ache, made my eyes throb with icy pain. It was unbearable, a cold, lifeless place, a thing in between places. Was I in the digestive tract of the universe, in the belly of all creation? Either way, I knew in the deepest wrinkles of my soul that this place was rotten. So, I primed our payloads for detonation, a final light show courtesy of Mother Russia. Then I wrote, casting my tail in ink on paper. It ends as it ends, maybe as God, if there is such a thing beyond those massive horrors, intended. Maybe not. Maybe this ending, my ending, was written by me and only me when I left behind the earth in search of heaven. It doesn't matter now. This is my deliverance. This is the death of the cosmonauts.